Concerning Luke chapter 12, verse 42. It's part of a parable which we will apply to Christmas. Revelation, the revelation of the birth of Christ to us. Verse 42 of Luke chapter 12. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." Let's pray. Lord, it is not often, I guess, thought of that we have a responsibility at Christmas time and all year long, really, to respond to the revelation we have of Jesus Christ. And there is no exemption to that. And as we think at Christmas of the humble child in the manger, Lord, this is a great call to us to be your people and to give up our own ways. Guide our thinking, Lord, in this. It be according to your will, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a custom in our world, in this country. I don't know how all other countries do that with this, but we have birthday celebrations. And a birthday celebration, of course, is prompted by our birthday. When we come to our birthday, we are maybe going to get some presents. Somebody might sing happy birthday to us, many well wishes, a card, a cake, sometimes even a party. If we lived in Middle Earth, which is a creation of Tolkien and the Hobbits, if it was your birthday, you would buy presents for everybody else in the whole town. So you decide what earth you want to be living in. Middle Earth, where you're buying a gift for everyone, or this earth, where you might get some gifts. But that's tradition, custom. It's different all over the place. Traditions and customs change. They're very flexible. In our day, it seems like whenever, this is not the case when I graduated, but today when students graduate, they have a party. They have a get-together. All their friends come, and I guess if there's 50 kids graduate, you got 50 parties. And we got none that I remember. Maybe you're different. We graduated, got a diploma, and, went home. Gender reveals on babies. I don't ever remember that when I was growing up. We'd have a get-together and have a box with balloons in it, and somebody opened the box, and they float out pink or blue. And then you know what the baby's going to be. I guess some of that had to do with the fact that when I was a baby, who knew how to do any of that, finding out what the gender was? I was believed to be a twin, that there were twins in my mother's womb. And They got half of that. We didn't know. But traditions and customs regarding birthdays change, and that's similar to Christmas. Christmas is a celebration in society, which is a mixture. Our Christmas tradition mixes what the world does just because it's winter, and what we do because it's the birth of Christ. I've heard of more families choosing, the adults, the fathers, mothers, choosing not to get any gifts at Christmas. Some kids are going, oh, what? Because they said their children were not thankful. So they're doing experiences. They'll take them somewhere and do something with them and take a couple hours, and that'll be their gift. And that's not caught on, but if that becomes a tradition, it's certainly possible. It's because these things change. Our tree decorations, gifts, parties, family gatherings, all those are secular celebrations. I know some people trying to make the tree about the cross and the gift about salvation, but it's none of that. It can be made that, but it's just, that's the way the world deals with a festival. The world loves to have these festivals: spring, summer, fall, and winter. And to have something in those seasons is very common in the world. There's a winter carnival in St. Paul next to Minneapolis. We have fall festivals. The leaves start to turn. You have picnics. We always go on a picnic. Summer, you've got July the 4th and barbecues. And the spring, we're going, wow, it's spring. Finally, the cold winter is over. And they get together and do that. And this happens all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. You can have a party, a festival, a gathering, anytime. And the birth of Christ at Christmas and the holiday of a festival in our world have been brought together. And we pretty much keep portions of both. But it's two in one for us. And the thing about Christmas is that we get often very upset because the world doesn't really pay attention to Jesus. But until they're saved, they're not going to. And if they did, without being saved, it would just be, you know, a surface thing. So, the thing that is disturbing, though, at Christmas is not that they don't follow the holiday like we would have them do it, but it's the same thing that's disturbing the whole year round. You know what's, in the eyes of God, disturbing about people and Christ? It's that Jesus is met with unbelief all year long. Do you think Christmas is the only time that people ignore Jesus? No, they do that in each month. Every month, there is ignorance of Christ. There is hatred of Christ. There is the rejection of Christ. And the Bible says that he came into his own, and his own did not receive him. The great things about Christmas, you go home, you expect to get to the door, and you open the door, it's not locked. You knock on the door, say you locked the door by accident, and your dad's inside saying, that wasn't an accident. You don't go on back home. We're to be welcome. And the Lord Jesus is not really in the world received. And it shows up more at Christmas because of the fact that it's the birth of Christ and We place importance upon that, and we'll talk about that more in this message. But the big thing that the Father sees, the Father doesn't say, well, it's people are ignoring Jesus, people aren't believing in my Son, but it's July, so it doesn't bother me. Unbelief is offensive before the Father all year round. And so, note this passage, and it begins with a beware. There is in this passage a warning. And all the way back at verse 1, Jesus says in Luke 12, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware of these religious folks, he says. I had a doctor's appointment and just a few days ago, and he was talking about, he went to the to church and was not paying attention to the sermon like he said he should have been. And I said, you know, some sermons really shouldn't be paid much attention to. He said, I'm glad you said that. Because the thought is that we never are to use our brains in understanding what's being preached. I don't have a percentage, but a lot of sermons, not the boring parts, not the dangerous part, that's not what you'd be told to beware of. What Jesus says to beware of is false doctrine that is strewn out of a preacher's mouth. And we got to be careful of that. And to be told to beware of preaching or doctrine, do you beware of the grass being too long in the yard? No, it's maybe unsightly, but it's not something to beware of. If the clouds are partly covering the sky, is that something to beware of? No, it's just something to note. Jesus says here to beware of the leaven, leaven being an influence of the Pharisees. What the Pharisees tell you to do, what the Pharisees tell you to believe, the professionals, the religious people, beware of that, Jesus said. Not because they're religious people, because of what they said. And that's a strange thing to modern minds, that we would be told to beware of false doctrine like it matters. In our world, it doesn't matter about truth. The world doesn't care about that. It's what we think. Jesus said the Pharisees were hypocrites. And they had a showy front, an outside, but inside they were offensive to God. We're able to do that. We're able to have a liturgy. We're able to have a practice. We're able to have a service. We're able to have an order of service. That's just completely meaningless. And when you're told, people come by the door and talk to me, try to tell me that I need to be something I'm not. I need to be Jehovah's Witness. I need to be a Mormon. Those are the ones that usually come by. Sometimes they come by and say, I need to be someone who has aluminum siding on my house. Or I need to be someone who has a water treatment thing done. But in religion, they come by and they say doctrine to me that I should believe. And that means they did not beware. They did not take heed. And someone fed them these things. And now they're at a point where you can't talk to them about it, because they've swallowed it. And it's part of them now. And no matter how, I've had very little success myself to get them to even understand what's wrong with their argument. Jesus says, be careful. Beware. And the life the Pharisees had, being the most religious people, were not to be mimicked. They weren't to follow those. And then he goes on, coming up to the passage we're looking at today, where he says that every life, every person should be lived in the fear of God. And if you go back later and read this, you'll see that he's speaking of fearing God, following God, listening to God, according to truth. So that he says in verse 31, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Seek the kingdom of God first, we're told in Matthew. Seek first the kingdom of God. And in verse 40, just before this passage, says, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Fearing the Lord, being ready for His coming, doing His will, watching for Him every day, whenever He comes, we'll be ready. That's what this is about. And He tells the parable of being expecting as a steward just before this particular one, and he leads into this. Now, Christ's incarnation, an event in history, is revelation. Something is revealed. We'll go tonight or tomorrow or whenever, and we'll open presents. We did some this morning. And when you open the present, it reveals what is inside. And the birth of Christ revealed the start of a plan of God to save our sinful souls. And if we're to walk in God's way, the question then is, how do we find the way? How do we find the path? If you go to a new city, you'd have no idea how to get around town. Somebody'd have to show you. You move somewhere new, you don't know where the grocery store is, you don't know where the post office is, you don't know the roads, you might leave your house and not be able to get back. So you got to find out. And when we enter this world as sinners, we have no idea how to find God. And the Bible says we don't even seek God. We seek ourselves, and we have no idea what the path is, and we have no idea how to get on it, so that we're lost, wandering, astray. And so the Lord decided to show us the way and to light the path. And He alone can do it, and it's what we need is a spiritual light, because our souls are in darkness and we don't understand. You remember sitting in like math class when you were growing up in elementary school? You said, what is this? And the teacher illuminated it, showed you what it was about. And at some point, hopefully, you said, ah, I got that now. Well, we need that for our souls, to know we need God, to know we have sin, and to be found in the right path to have our sins forgiven. And if we don't have that light, we'll never find the path. And we'll stumble to our doom. That's why Jesus came. Look at a few verses in John. John chapter 8. Verse 12. Now again, Jesus made it very clear that this is what he was doing. Jesus said, John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He is the light of the world. Look at John chapter 9, verse verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Look at John 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. And you note there that Jesus talks about this like it's something you better do now. Because if you don't do it now, it will very probably pass away from you. In verse 46 of that same chapter, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Well, it's no wonder that people are living such lives, stumbling around like they can't see, because they're in darkness. No matter how well you know your house, turn all the lights out sometime, try to find things. We can't find the TV remote in the daytime. So you turn the light off and start looking for it. And when the light is with us, it is a fleeting thing. And so Jesus says, beware of the Pharisees. They'll lead you astray and you won't have any light at all. While the light is with you, take it. We're very quick as sinners to cover the light. So what is the religious element of Christmas? Bringing the light. The celebration of Christ's birth when Jesus came to earth is the first step in the brightest spiritual illumination that we get. Hebrews 1 says, God spoke to us in past times in many ways, but in these days he has spoken to us through his Son. It's an express image of his person, the brightness of his glory. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's no greater revelation of God than Jesus Christ. And when Jesus was born, it wasn't just a quiet thing. I don't remember when I was born what all hoopla went on. I'm thinking none. I mean, as far as the world was concerned, another baby born. I've been to the hospital up here before, walked by the maternity ward, have all these babies out there. Wasn't a star over any one of them. No angels singing. Didn't hear trumpets blasting. You got all that with Jesus. When I was born, to the best of my recollection, there was no gold, frankincense, or myrrh given to me. And yet Jesus was brought these gifts. Kings did not seek my crib from afar, but they did Jesus. And the Father points to his Son when he implements this plan and says, that is my Son. He wants sinners to know of Jesus Christ. And that very well-known verse, John 3:16, is followed by two verses that may be not as well-known. John 3:17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe or does not obey is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. A sinner does not have to wait to be condemned. He's already condemned if he does not believe in the Son of God. And so Jesus came to show the way, to reveal the Father's plan. So Peter asked a question back in our text, Luke 12. Jesus told the parable. And then Peter's wondering just who all it applies to. Verse 41. And Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? Peter was erring on the right side. He said, we know it's for us, Lord, but is it for everybody else too? Are you saying this for everybody? Or is it just for us to hear? Are we supposed to watch? Or are you telling everybody to watch? To be ready. In today's manner, we would say is Christ for the whole world or just for the few people who decide to make him their Lord, to follow him? And it's a very fundamental question. Is Jesus for us? Is he just the American God? Is he just the Baptist God? Is he just for Christians? This birth of Christ, the Muslims don't celebrate that. The Jews don't celebrate that, unbelieving. Is Jesus for them? If I see a cooking show on TV, that's not for me. I don't watch them unless I'm sitting in a waiting room and it's on. And I don't watch it then either, really. There are things that aren't for us. They are for other people. If I go into a guitar shop, I'm not in there for me. Cindy's in there for her, and I'm in there for her. And the lack of being able to play the guitar makes it not for me. So is Jesus for everybody? Should every person on earth celebrate and worship Christ in every aspect of his life, including his birth? Or is that just for some? There's a way we view things. I don't want to get political, believe me, I don't. But the last two presidents we've had, I heard this phrase, "That's not my president. That's not my president." Here's a reality check. Yes and yes. He was your president before, and the one in now is your president. That's just the way it is. You cannot like it. You can go outside, find a bare spot on the ground, and turn circles on your left side and scream. It doesn't change anything. And by the way, people have done that, I think. It is a fact. People consider God in that same way, that he's territorial. That's not my God. Jesus is not my God. Well, I got news. Jesus created all things and all people, and he says things like this. The Bible says, "You shall have no other gods before me. The gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow." The Bible depicts the only Savior, the only God, is the one who created. It can't be a bunch. False gods, you can have a lot. So is Jesus for us? Absolutely. Jesus doesn't directly answer Peter's question, except he implies by what he says is that every person, the good servant and the bad servant, are both under the master. Look at verse 42. "Who then is that faithful and wise steward?" Steward is someone left in charge of the master's things. "Whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." So there is the good servant that will be rewarded. Verse 44, "Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." There's a good servant. And then, verse 45, "But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come in a day when he is not looking for him and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." In our society, it is literally impossible in this country to not know that Christmas has something to do with Jesus Christ. As far as the secular manifestations of it, they start a little earlier every year. You can't even get to Halloween now without Christmas decorations in it. Some people don't even take them down off their house through the summer. It keeps stretching back. We used to get our tree 2 weeks before Christmas. Got to put it up. It's 2 months now for trees, and people are even using real trees that far back. And there's nobody at the judgment that's going to say, well, I didn't know anything about Jesus. Not in this country, you're not going to say that. There are places where the name of Jesus is not known, not here. And so the master has two servants, a good servant and an evil servant. The evil servant forgets about the master, chooses to do his own thing. Well, how does that go? Well, it says he will, verse 46, he'll come on a day when he's not looking for him, and an hour when he's not aware, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. It's like that guy that tried to steal a tire off a car, and the owner came up behind him. Do you think he was thinking about the owner coming? He was thinking about after he got the jack hit up the side of his head. Then he thought about, what am I doing here? Jesus says, you come and the master will come and you're not expecting. And then look at this. There is judgment for the evil servant, and there is blessing and reward for the good servant by the same master. You don't get to choose your masters. So verse 47 and 48 give us something about the revelation, Christmas lighting. I think my mom used to say, I've told you that 1,000 times. If we've been told something, we are expected to know it. And Jesus revealed something here that's not often thought about, and that is that there are varying degrees of punishment. People talk about, well, you know, if you're condemned, you're condemned. But that's not precisely true. It is true, but it's not in all the details. Verse 47, 47 and 48 are about the bad servant. That servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Now that's figurative of the judgment, punishment, hell. And there are, to those who know the most, more is expected, and if you do not do the master's will with the life that you've been given, many stripes will be put to you. Your judgment will be more severe. Verse 48, though, says, he who did not know yet committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few. So, didn't know. He wasn't free of service to the master, but he didn't know so much. Well, he's still beaten, but with few stripes. And the guiding principle in the latter part of verse 48 is, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, to him of him they will ask the more. Now, I don't know how all that works out in the end. You know, you see suffering and all that. The worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. But the Bible does teach in a few places. Matthew 10 says that if you go to a city, the disciples are going to a city and preaching. If the city doesn't receive you, said it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So there's a varying degree of judgment. And in Hebrews 10, it talks about trampling underfoot the Son of God, being a more stringent evil and judgment than Moses' law. So there's a difference. So here's what brings us to Christmas. People do for Christmas what they want. Just like they do all year round, they can celebrate however they wish. And we're increasingly finding that Jesus isn't welcome. University recently put this out this year. Said, in general, the following are not appropriate for gatherings and displays at this time of year, since they typically represent specific religious iconography. Santa Claus, angels, Christmas trees, Star of Bethlehem, dreidels, nativity scene, bows and wrapped gifts, menorah, bells, doves, red and green or blue and white and silver decorations. Red and green are representative of the Christian tradition, as blue and white and silver are for Jewish Hanukkah that is also celebrated at this time of year. So in other words, don't do anything about Jesus. Don't do anything religious. Don't do anything that might be offensive to people who aren't religious. If you know about Christ's birth, then you are responsible for being given a great light. And when you're given light, you're expected to be able to find something that's right in front of your face. And it's a privilege to receive this light. For us to know about Jesus Christ's birth, that is a privilege. To know that He came, that He revealed Himself to be the Lord God, to show us the way of God, and to die on the cross for our sin, that's a privilege. People get offended by it these days. Merry Christmas. Some people get in a fight over that. Somebody said, I've read a number of things, but somebody said Merry Christmas, and they would get turned on and say, don't say that to me. It's offensive. It's hard not to offend people these days. But it's a privilege. Ignorance is no excuse. When we've been given the light of the birth of Christ, the child in the manger, when we've been given that light, every person on earth is responsible now to such a degree that if we know about Jesus and do not follow His way, we will be beaten with many stripes. Because we know we're of that first group. And so, our Lord Jesus has been shown to us as the Savior of the world. I got another religion. Well, that'll go until the judgment. Then it expires. I've got other beliefs. Fine, those will go to the judgment. Then they're no good anymore. You can believe what you want and worship how you want and practice and celebrate however you want until the day of the judgment. And then all that expires. Because the Christmas lighting that God has given us points solely to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we as His people are to be focused upon Him. We can do these other things. It's not a sin. But we cannot do anything else above love and adore the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your patience with us, because Lord, for most people it seems that the lesson of Your birth is slow in being understood. And then Lord, we who understand it are often distracted by other things. Lord, may Your long-suffering on our behalf yield great, great fruit to Your glory. And Lord, those here who do not know that You are the Master, Lord, may they know that there is no other Master and no other Lord, and that all who would come before You would not be true. But Lord, only You are the Savior of the world. And may, Lord, they bend their knee and repent and find the peace in their hearts of being right with God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.